ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 6, entitled The Demigods and Demons Declare a Truce. Text number 32. Tato devasuraha kritva sangviram kritasaurida udyamam Paramang Chakrur Amritarte Parantapa Tato Devasura Kritva Tato Devasura Kritva Sangvidang Kritta Sauridaha Sangvidang Kritta Sauridaha Ujjamang paramang chakrur Ujjamang paramang chakrur Amritarte parantapa Amritarte parantapa Tato devasura kritva Sangvidang kritta sauridaha Ujjamang paramang chakrur Amritarte parantapa Sirakritva Ujjamang paramang chakrur Amritarte parantapa Tato devasura kritva Ujjamang paramang chakrur Amritarte parantapa Jodivasara kritva Sangvidang kritta saurida Ujjamang paramang chakrur Amritarte parantapa. Ladies. To devasura kritva sangridyam sita saurida Vimam paramang chakrur Amritarte parantapa. Dodivasura kritva Divasura kritva Sangviram kritta saurida Ujjamam paramam chakru amritarte parantapa tata thereafter. Deva asuraha, both the demons and the demigods, kritva, executing, sangvidam, indicating, kritasau ridaha, an armistice between them, udyamam, enterprise, paramam, supreme, chakru, they did. Amrita arte, for the sake of nectar. Parantapa, O Maharaj Parikit, chastiser of enemies. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Maharaj Parikit, chastiser of enemies, the demigods and the demons thereafter made an armistice between them. Then, with great enterprise, they arranged to produce nectar as proposed by Lord Indra. Please repeat. O Maharaj Parikit, chastiser of enemies, the demigods and the demons thereafter made an armistice between them. Then, with great enterprise, they arranged to produce nectar as proposed by Lord Indra. Purport. The word sangvidam is significant in this verse. The demigods and demons both agreed to stop fighting, at least for the time being, and endeavored to produce nectar. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur notes in this connection, sangvidyudhe pratighyayam achare namni toshane sambhashane kriyakare sanketa jnanayor api. The word sangvit is variously used to mean in fighting, in promising, for satisfying, in addressing, by practical action, indication, and knowledge. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshun Litam Jena Tasmai Sigurve Nama Mukam Guru Divachalam Pankam Langai Tegirim Utkipatam Ham Bande Sigurum Dinatarunam. O Maharaj Parikit, chastiser of enemies, the demigods and the demons thereafter made an armistice between them. Then with great enterprise they arranged to produce nectar as proposed by Lord Indra. So, as we've been very nicely hearing in previous classes, so very nicely described, how this agreement made between the demons and demigods it's not an ordinary thing. Generally, we see that the demons and the devotees do not get along. In fact, they're opposites. The demoniac are thinking, yak shastrim vidim ustris javartate kamakarata, that there's no need for scriptural injunctions, there's no reason to, one can act according to one's own whims, and the result, of course, we understand from Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita that neither perfection, nor happiness, nor the supreme destination is achieved. So although they may seem powerful at sometimes, at different times, the demoniac forces. Ultimately, we understand that there's no success. And we just see it practically within our own lives, that so many powerful persons and civilizations have been there, and they've all crumbled in due course of time, because there's no regard for the laws given by God. What to speak of even nature, even when we try to disregard the natural laws, Mother Nature reacts, just like in the very wonderful pastime of Prithu Maharaj and Mother Earth, that after King Vena's rule, she withdrew all of her opulences, and Prithu Maharaj became angry. Why is it that you're withholding all of your natural opulences? And again, we see it within our own lifetimes that gradually things are diminishing. The natural riches of the earth are no longer there. They're gradually disappearing. Instead, we're very opulently surrounded by plastic and paper. And chemicals. So what to do? So Mother Earth's response was that I'm just simply reacting to the management. What recourse do I have if the leadership is unjust and cruel, disregarding the laws of God, then naturally I withdraw all of my opulences. Prithu Maharaj, of course, became very angry at this, and he warned her. And then she finally began to supply the necessities, basic necessities, vegetation, water, jewels, the natural opulences which are there. But as soon as these things are disturbed, even within our own experience, we're misappropriating so many opulences of material nature, of Mother Nature, that there has to be some reaction. It's not that you can just plug your device in the wall and use the electricity and not have to pay for it. You have to pay for it. Somebody has to pay for it. So the demoniac are thinking that, well, there's no need for these rules and regulations. We can just act according to our whims, according to our desires. Asetam apratistam che. There's no one in charge. We can just do as we like. So it's interesting how this pastime is all about the demons and the demigods cooperating, because we don't see that in normal course of affairs. Generally, they're at great odds with each other. There's never any cooperation, unless there's something to be gained, as we've been hearing from the last verses. There is something common that they're looking for, and that is the nectar, which is to be produced by the churning of the milk ocean with Mandar Mountain, which again is a whole nother pastime. Huh? It's interesting how Krishna makes all of this happen, that the demons and demigods who don't normally cooperate are now making an armistice so that they can produce some nectar, so they can both supposedly get this immortal elixir. But it's all leading to the wonderful appearance of kurma and this wonderful and what to speak of glorification of the Lord's devotees, Lord Shiva appearing to, as we'll read in the next chapter, he's glorified. We won't give it away, but he's also glorified. So all of these arrangements are, it's very interesting how Krishna makes such complicated arrangements. Although externally we may think it's just a simple arrangement. But actually it's very intricate. So these mortal enemies, the demons and the devotees, it's interesting to see how they're agreeing for some common good. Of course, that common good in this case is ultimately it's sense gratification, because they're both looking to increase their enjoyment. So we see that practically in society as well. Sometimes opposing warring parties or opposing governments, they make some political arrangement so that they can both benefit after the, just even within our own recent history, different wars have occurred and countries are making so many agreements and arrangements that I will supply arms or will give you land in exchange, etc. It goes back and forth. And it's all meant for sense gratification, ultimately. This is the general mentality in material society amongst materialists. Their idea is to further their own position. So it's interesting, again, how all of this is some or other connected to the appearance of the Lord, and how some or other is glorifying the Lord's devotees. The verse reads how the demigods and demons, after their armistice, they with great enterprise arranged to produce nectar. They were quite enthusiastic. And generally, again, we see that in the common course of affairs. As soon as sense gratification is involved, somebody's enjoyment is maybe enhanced. We're quite enthusiastic to make any kinds of political arrangements or social arrangements. We're very eager to do that. Again, it's all about trying to enjoy in this material world, and of course that is not the the goal. That's not the perfection of it. Instead, it should be to glorify the personality of Godhead and engage in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport that this word sambit is variously used by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He gives various meanings that in fighting, sometimes one has to make concessions. In promising, again, we have to make concessions in order to satisfy and address a particular need by practical action, indication, and knowledge. I'm not sure exactly where he uses these examples, if anyone may know, or these meanings, I should say. But the whole pastime, again, is a very fascinating prelude to the Lord's appearance. again, one may question, why is it that these opposing parties or this information is, or other information is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam? But it's all about glorifying the position of the Personality of Godhead, His supreme position. Later on we'll read how the demigods and demons, although they were cooperating, they were crushed by the weight of Mandara Mountain. It was so heavy. And the Lord again had to appear and very easily lifted and brought to life back the these demons and devotees so that they could again engage in this churning business, so that again the Lord and so many wonderful things could take place in this pastime. Not only those things which were produced, many wonderful things were produced, but also terrible things which Lord Shiva was able to save the universe from. But again, all to satisfy the personality of Godhead. So whatever descriptions are given here, although they may seem a little irrelevant, actually they make perfect sense, because again they lead to glorifying the personality of Godhead and His devotee. And that is the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's there to glorify the personality of Godhead. It's there to glorify the activities of the devotees of the Lord in their service to the personality of Godhead. So this whole pastime is quite fascinating. And very significant. And that's all I have to say. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.